You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to Inside the War Room, presented by Sports Illustrated on the NFL Draft Bible Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys. As always, we're less than a week away from the NFL Draft, boys. Dante, Siri, how are you boys doing?
Doing good. When you guys are listening to this, it'll be 2 days away from the NFL Draft. All three of us are here to finish up the position ranking, so it's a good night. I'm excited to maybe get this over with soon.
The grind is over, guys. We did it.
We've made it. We watched all the film, wrote all the scouting reports. We're about to finish up the rankings. I'm ready for the draft. I'm ready to know where everyone's going to be and start talking about that instead of the same narratives that we've been talking about since August.
For sure. I mean, it's crazy. Like, we've been working together all the way back from July, June, and, you know, now, like, the week is officially here. And it's just insane. And it's like, within another month or two, we're going to be talking about 2022, like, draft class. And that's just insane. Like, obviously, like, the, like, whole month of May will be dedicated to, like, this draft class and what actually ends up happening. And this is our final breakdown, which is just insane, because I remember doing summer breakdowns of like all these guys, and now we're here doing final reports, and it's insane, man. I mean, the draft is like another job. Like, we don't get paid like as another job, but it's another job. Like, the amount of studying and research we do on these guys, it's actually insane. But I mean, it's all worth it, obviously, especially for the podcast as well. We all enjoy it. We all love talking it with you guys, and, you know, we love talking as the three of us for sure. But like we mentioned, this is the last episode of Breakdowns, and this is the last episode for us personally before the NFL draft. So, again, thank you guys so much for all the support throughout the whole draft, and hopefully we can go out with a bang with this episode. So we're here to talk with some safeties, and we're here to talk some corners. So the secondary is going to be the final wrap of the breakdown. So I'm going to kick it off to Dante. Dante, we're going to start off with the safeties. Who's safety number one for you in this class?
My safety one, I think, is pretty much consensus safety one, I think, for a lot of people, and that's Trayvon Merrick from TCU. I just think of this class, you're getting a player who's the best blend of size, athlete, and ball skills. You can kind of poke holes in a lot of the other guys, whether that be size or whether that's their range or their ball skills or maybe their mental processing. I think Merrick is the best blend of those elements. I think he gives you versatility as a single high option, probably on the lower end of the single high options, but I think he could survive there. I think he would do really, really well as a split field safety, you know, just covering half the field, breaking downhill on routes, you know, using his football IQ, his size, his length, ball skills to make plays on the ball and do that stuff. So I think he brings a ton of value in deep zones. I think that's what you're looking for in the safeties. And then he's big enough to step into the box. You know, he's like 6'2". He's got good length. He hits hard. He's a solid tackler. He can hold up in the slot and man coverage. So I think Merrick is just a guy who, like, look, you can draft him onto any defense in the NFL and you can find a role for him where he's going to be a solid football player. You know, is he a star? Is he going to be a, you know, an uber productive player? I mean, maybe not. I don't know that his ceiling is that high. I don't think he's that elite of an athlete, but he's solid and he's very, very good across the board. And I think he's going to appeal to a lot of teams as a player who, like, look, he knows his assignments. He understands zone coverages. He understands route concepts. He's not going to get burned. He's not going to get beat very often. He's very, very solid. So for me, he's the best blend of athlete, ball skills, versatility. I think he just brings enough to the table in all those categories to make him safety one in a class that, I mean, it's just lacking a star player. You know, like, I really like Merrick. I think he's solid. We were talking pre-show. He's like my 36th overall player. I have like a mid-second round grade on him. Like, he's a highly graded player on my board. I like him a good bit, but he's not a star caliber player. You know, that's just not, we don't have a safety that this year that is that caliber in my opinion, but I think Merrick is as close as you're going to get.
I literally, it's like weird I don't say weird, but it's like kind of cool, I guess, reading my scouting report and hearing everything that you're saying, and it sounds like exactly the same. I think if I did have to like poke a hole in something, it would be his man coverage. I think he can improve there a little bit, but like you said, he's able to do that. TCU kind of put him in a few different roles, and like you said, he's big enough to, you know, be in the box. I do think his, you know, to reach his highest ceiling in NFL is going to be in a cover one or cover three type defense. Let him be that, you know, guy who's going to play on the back end and kind of just play with good range. I think he has very good range, not talked about enough. I think his ball skills are also elite. He's a very twitchy, loose athlete. And Dotson talked about it, man. His good blend of size and his IQ level is very high. And that's why, you know, if you're going to be a free safety, man, you're playing cover one, cover three, look, you've got to be the eraser. And that's really what he was in the back end of the TCU defense. But Dante talked about it, so I'll just, you know, go quickly. But I think his tackling was super superb. I think he's more than willing to meet ball carriers in the hole. Technique can get a little dicey at times where he can be a little out of control on occasion, but that's going to happen. He plays fast, man. I think that's something that a lot of safeties in this class don't do is play fast. And you can tell he's very smart. He's good at, you know, getting guys lined up, getting himself lined up, calling out formations. So he's my only safety in the class that had a first-round grade, which Trayvon Merrick. So other than that, that's the only safety with a first-round grade in this class for me.
And that's a sweep across the board as well. I also have Morhaig as my safety number one. And like you guys kind of mentioned, just a guy that's really, really versatile and can almost play any safety spot. You can put him in the box. You can play him in the single high, maybe if it's not his strongest spot. But love the versatility that he offers. And I think, you know, in this safety class where there isn't a clear-cut number one, I feel like even though Saray said, you know, maybe he's a bridge, he was number 31 on his board. And then I think on Dante, he said he was 36. I mean, those, again, are just our personal rankings where the guy is, not what we think will happen. I think we are all in agreement that this guy's a first-round pick and probably will end up going in the first-round pick. And, I mean, honestly, even has the potential to be a top 20 player. It would even shock me in that case because, you know, I look at some teams that need safeties in that top 20. Teams like the Raiders scream out to me that can make this pick here at 17. Washington at pick 19 makes a lot of sense right here. So I think, you know, this one would make a lot of sense here. So I think he might not necessarily like fit, you know, the BPA approach, but this is more of a player of need or positional need if you're one of those teams. So I think he will definitely be somewhere in that top 20, top 25-ish, and a definite first-round pick for sure. So clean sweep for
– I think Jacksonville would be a good spot for him. Jacksonville would be really nice for him. Yeah.
I think, you know, we also forget – I mean, you guys mentioned him last week as a linebacker, but a guy who could play, you know, the linebacker slash safety roles, kind of like the Isaiah Simmons of this draft, Jeremiah Owusu-Koroma. So, I mean, that's another one. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, if you're a team of needing a safety, maybe you go him first rather than Morhaig, just depending on, you know, obviously your scheme and, you know, what you run. So it wouldn't shock me either way, but I think he will still find, you know, a role in the first round. So, all right. Dante, safety two, who do you got here?
All right, I'm assuming this is where we start to get different. I've got James Wiggins from the University of Cincinnati as my safety too. Yeah, two very, very surprised reactions from my co-host.
I just want to say, before you go into spill, he's really good, but I was not expecting that to be number two. That's different. I like it.
My safety rankings dropped today, and I got a lot of pushback from my colleagues at Blue Chip Scouting. We're all very much over the... over the course of the safety room, we're all very, very different. But for me, and here's the weird thing is like, I have a lot of rankings where like, I think I'm different than the consensus. And typically I understand, right? Like there is a way that I can be like, all right, I understand why people don't like him. I'm going to be frank. I don't understand why more people aren't on James Wiggins. I think he's really damn good. And I'm really, really surprised that more people don't see it that way. Wiggins, obviously, he missed the 2019 season with a torn ACL. So I get that. But he comes back in 2020. Dude looks fine. Doesn't look like he's lost a step. Look, is he an elite athlete? Is he a guy who's going to be, you know, insanely rangy on the back end? No, probably not. But I think you stick him in a split field role in a cover two scheme with, you know, two high safeties. You let him go to work. I think he's going to be good there. He's got enough range to patrol those deep zones and make plays on the ball. He's a good athlete, fluid movement skills, nice hips, good ball skills. He brings all that to the table. Again, is he going to be an elite ball production player? No. I mean, again, this is a guy who's like, you know, top, you know, just inside my top 40, I believe, or maybe just outside of it. Like, you know, I don't think he's, you know, a star player. I just think he's really solid. He provides man coverage ability, very, very smart run defender. I think you can play him in the box. He has enough size, very, very physical tackler as well. I think he's really, really good filling his gaps, and he's good in the fit. You know, you can move him around. You can be versatile. I don't think you want him in a single high role, but if you really need him there, I think you could survive for a little bit. So I really like James Wiggins. I don't really think that he's bad at anything. I think he's very, very solid across the board in a lot of areas. I love the way that he came back from his ACL tear. I thought he looked really good. So I think this will be the first of a couple surprise names for my safety rankings. I have realized that I am very much not on the consensus with the rest of draft Twitter, but I don't understand this one. I think James Wiggins' film is really good and he tested well. Like, I don't understand the knock on his game. So he's my safety too. I think you can play him all over the field and he's going to be solid for you.
I dig it. That one's a lot different, and he didn't even cut my top five. And it's honestly not a guy I've done much like digging on, honestly. And now, like, I, you know, maybe a week before the draft, I have to go look into James Wiggins. Okay. I mean, I feel bad. I really don't know much about him. So, like, that was actually a pretty good report. So, okay, Saray, who do you got here?
This is Tyler's guy, brand guy, man, Richie Grant, my safety number two, man. I know a lot of people are, like, all over the place with him, right? Some people aren't high on his versatility. But, like, you just go back and watch his film, like, Central Florida just kind of lined him up everywhere, right? You know, like, he has good frame. He's got good ball skills, got length, but the ball production's there. Like I said, versatility. I think he's a cover one free safety in the league, right? Just let this guy be over the top of the defense back ends. Let him range, man. Let him have some fun, go roam, make some plays on the ball. But, like, this is a guy who can fill holes, man. He's a willing run defender, a willing tackler. Can really do anything you ask him to do, right? He showed the ability to line up and slot, you know, and play man coverage. I think he can be a tight end neutralizer if need be. Like I said, I know everybody's all over the place with the safety class this year. So, like, I don't really know why, but I like, it's not somebody I want to consistently maybe put in man coverage, but I think he's okay there, right? Like, it's serviceable for me, but I don't know, man. He was somebody who had a good Senior Bowl. I think he's, you know, he's going on the right track, and would not surprise me if you hear his name early in the second round, mid second round, right? I just think, I don't know how different the league is really on the safety class. Like, us in the media really don't think it's a good class. Can only imagine what the NFL thinks about it, but, like, I don't know, man. Teams who maybe, like, the Cowboys, right, need some safety help, and maybe in the later rounds to do something like that, right? I just think he's going to be a guy who, scheme is not going to be a problem for him because he did so much in college that wherever he goes is going to be used and hopefully used correctly. But yeah, Richie Grant's my safety too, out of Central Florida.
Yeah, Richie Grant's also my safety too in this class. And I think, you know, showing the versatility, especially the Senior Bowl, he was one of those guys, I think, with Quinn Miners in the offensive line. I thought those two specifically were, like, the risers and, like, the true winners of the Senior Bowl. Like, out of the short list, I think, you know, he definitely, you know, in this safety class, like we mentioned, there's not a true, you know, safety one, or, like, there's, like, a lot of questions around this board. So, like, Richie Grant could be potentially the second safety off the board. And it wouldn't shock me. I really like, you know, his single high role, play that center field role. He kind of gives me, like, you know, that Austin Jackson. I'm giving the Tigers vibes now from, you know, for my baseball listeners. He's going to play that center field role for you. So that's, you know, Richie Grant. He really impressed me at the Senior Bowl, like I said. And then, like, you know, Saray said, shows also more versatility. If you need him to play man coverage, he could also do that as well. But overall, I think his best role in the NFL is being that center fielder, play deep, play single high, and he could be a ball hawk. So Richie Grant, safety two for me.
All right. I guess that leaves me with safety three. I have Jamar Johnson from Indiana as my safety three. I really like him. He's one of the last players that I watched in this draft class. I watched 234 players. He was, like, my 231st report. I gave him a second round grade. I really like him in coverage. And that's a simple thing to say, but I mean, look, this is a coverage league. You need safeties who can cover. Jamar Johnson can cover. Like, it's very simple for me. I really, really like him in split high zones. I think that he's very, very good in a cover two role. Good instincts to come downhill, break on the ball, jumps in front of routes really well, reads the eyes of quarterbacks well. I don't think he's a crazy good athlete, but he's good enough. He's explosive enough. He's fast enough. He's smooth enough to make plays on the ball and make an impact in those roles. I thought he was fine in man coverage. Didn't love him, but I thought he was okay. And look, there are really, really good instances of him coming up and playing run support the way that you're supposed to. I think, you know, my two big things with Johnson is that one year of production. This was a player who was a special teams guy at Indiana until this season when he kind of jumped onto the scene a little bit. So, you know, why weren't you on the field earlier at Indiana? I don't know. It's a little bit over my head, but it is definitely a question mark in his game. And then the other problem that I have with him is just, like, sometimes it just doesn't look like he wants to tackle. And like, that's going to be something with DBs that we're going to talk about across the board. Some, you know, safeties are more physical typically. And Johnson does have instances where he steps up and fills his gap and does a good job and makes a good tackle. And it's like, okay, cool. And then you have other reps where like, he just takes a really terrible angle and then he ends up ankle biting on a stop. And it's like, dude, like, come on, I know you can hit, like hit this guy. And he just like, doesn't. So those things are concerning, but I think I go back to, he's going to be good in a split field safety role. He's going to bring you ball production. He's going to be, you know, a good cap on the defense. I don't think he's going to get burned a ton. And again, like coverage ability, you know, your coverage spacing, your zone coverage ability, those are my top rated traits for safeties and ball skills as well. And he, you know, he checks all of those boxes. So he ranks a little bit higher than some of the other guys for me. I really like him, made a couple really nice plays on Justin Fields this year. I thought he showed out in the games where he had to show out. So he's my safety three.
I agree with everything you just said, because he's also my safety three. If you ever go watch the Ohio State game, man, that he fooled Justin Fields a few times.
Based on the Ohio State game, he's safety one. If that was the only film that we had of safeties here, that's the first best round game I've seen from a safety. Yeah.
Yes. He's man, I think what really gets me with him is he's very patient when he's playing split field coverage responsibilities, man. Like, his ability to process quickly and trigger quickly, right, is, I think, it was why he's so flashy. I think his flashes are some of the best, you know, top play you're going to see from safeties in this class. Dante talked about it. I do think that times he said, like, he can be a physical tackler. Like, he's a willing run defender. Like, there's times he will shoot, trigger, right, and meet the ball carrier before it's a huge gain. And there's other times where, like you said, he's kind of an ankle biter, right? He's kind of a contact, you know, kind of like a suction cup tackler. Sometimes he's just not really willing to put his body on the line more than I think a safety should. If you're the last line of defense, man, you got to be willing to throw your body on the line. There's just consistently that does not happen. But the experience is also huge, man. It's not a lot of experience, right? So maybe this is a guy that somebody takes and just kind of let him have kind of a red shirt type year, you know, sit him down and let him learn. Then again, I don't know, man. He brings such good value on special teams, right? Maybe he plays, you know, early on as a rookie. You don't know. But he is my safety number three for me, and I'm a huge fan.
All right, going to my safety three, it's not Jamar Johnson. I'm going Javon Holland here from Oregon. And Javon Holland is a guy that, also another versatile guy that could probably play some corner. Even if you needed him, he could play the slot corner. The versatility is there. He really impresses me in man coverage as well. So that's something that's, you know, really unique, especially in Holland. You know, he's one of those guys where, you know, you need him to play the slot corner, which I think the slot corner, you know, it's a position that gets a lot of rack for, but like, I think they're really valuable, especially in today's NFL, especially in this new passing league that we see in. Like, you need three like good corners and you need two safeties out there, obviously. So Holland brings the versatility to play the safety spot and play the corner spot if needed. And I think he's very effective at both spots. So, especially in a man coverage league. So, Javon Holland is my corner three. And I think, you know, he's one of those guys where teams might fall in love with, and he could be a potential early round two, mid round two guy. And it wouldn't even shock me if he's like a late round one guy, just depending on how the board is. I could see teams liking a guy like Holland, maybe rather than, you know, Richie Grant or Jamar Johnson, and he could potentially be the second safety off the board. But it's going to be interesting just to see how the board ends up falling out. So Javon Holland, corner or safety three here. Sorry.
Yeah, Holland's not in my top five. I don't think he's a safety. I think you kind of danced around it. I think he's a slot corner. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't play safety at Oregon. He pretty much lines up almost exclusively at slot corner. So for me, safety four is Tyree Gillespie from Missouri. And again, probably another name that might be a surprise, but I really like him. I have a lot of the same feelings about him that I have Jamar Johnson. I think he's a very good split field safety. I think he'll be great in a cover two role. You put him back there in deep zones. He's got length. He's got speed. He's a willing tackler. He's going to go out there and make plays on the ball. I think he's pretty solid in coverage. He did a really good job in man against Kyle Pitts, limited sample size, but like, I don't know. He's probably the only dude all year to get a PBU on him. Now, granted, Kyle Trask threw a freaking duck, but you know, hey, look, Gillespie got the PBU. Usually Pitts is so much separation, it doesn't matter. So I think he did a good job there. I think he showed some chops in man coverage. I think he showed some really nice chops in the box as well as a run defender. He had a couple really nice plays in the box against Alabama. I want to say he really popped Najee Harris in the hole. If I remember correctly, it was either Harris or Waddle. I don't remember, but he made a couple really impressive open field tackles. Look, is this guy the best athlete in the world? No. he's not. He ran really well at his pro day. He does not look that fast on tape, but I think he checks the box, and I think he's going to provide enough speed there to be an impact player in deep zones. So I really like him, and if you couldn't tell, that is very much the prototype of safety that I like. I like my split field guys who make plays on the ball. They're very easy to translate, and they typically are solid. So that is kind of where my safety rankings have gone, and I really like Gillespie, Johnson, and Wiggins. They're graded very, very closely on my board. And I think honestly, for me, they would be like interchangeable. I could make an argument to myself in any order. But yeah, Tyree Gillespie, safety 4 from Missouri.
I did not expect us to have the same rankings here. I also have Gillespie 4, man. Listen, Dante put me onto him, I want to say about 2.5 months ago. And I was like, I was watching Najee Harris and Smith and Waddle and those guys. And the first game I turned on was the Missouri game. And I see this dude come down in a hole, and he popped Najee Harris on the sideline. I was like, damn, who is this kid? And then I was like, okay, that's just one rep. Devontae Smith runs a slant. He smacks Devontae Smith across the middle. I was like, dude, who is this kid? So I paused the film. I looked at the roster, and I DM'd Dante. I was like, dude, I am a fan of this kid. And he's been in the top 5 rankings ever since. Listen, special teams value, like, teams love that. He's going to play as a rookie because he's so great on special teams. Is his ceiling high as some of the other guys we named? No, probably not. He's not the best athlete like Dante talked about. Is he a single high safety? No, probably not, right? But his best work does come in split field coverages. I just think the reason he's not going to be a split field guy, he just kind of lacks anticipation. He kind of lacks sometimes awareness. I think a lot of teams did. When he was a single high safety, a lot of teams did try to attack him, right? But he's been, like you said, better in the split field role. But I think his ability to process and trigger when he understands what's going on is some of the next level stuff I've seen, man. Like, his ability to come down here. Now, how many guys have you seen stonewall Najee Harris? He's a willing run defender. He's a willing tackler. He's sufficient in man coverage when asked to do so, right? It's not somebody you're going to consistently ask to do that, given how good he is, like Dante said, in split coverage for responsibilities. But, man, I'm really surprised that we also have Tyree here at 4, man. So that's
what I'm really surprised. Here's a little peek behind the curtain for how my scouting process goes. Every time I watch a player who has any remote amount of juice, I immediately DM Saray and be like, this dude is amazing. Watch him right now. Yes. I'll be like halfway through a film eval. I'll be like, you have to watch him right now. He's really good.
Telling you, man, that's how I felt watching the Alabama game. He flashed for me, man. That Alabama game, he flashed for me. Just overall, man, he's not talked about enough, and I just don't understand it. In a class like this where it's kind of just like you, like Dante said, you're just kind of taking who you prefer at this point, right? And I do think that these guys, kind of like a hybrid type thing, him and Jamar are kind of in that same role, to kind of look at as hybrid safeties because they, you know, are going to be split field safety guys. But, like, man, this class isn't great, but he's one of the guys I like for sure.
All right, guys. Let's talk about my guy now. And, you know, these guys called him my guy, and, like, this is, like, a Tyler player all the way, and he is. I mean, Dante made a tweet saying, like, he had a my guy team. Like, he made his, like, team on offense and on defense. And I'm like, oh, it's a good idea. I'm going to do the same thing. And he ended up being on this list. So if you guys don't know who I'm talking about, Andre Sisco from Syracuse, I think this guy has the potential to be the best safety in this whole draft class. Like, I think he has the potential to be the best safety in this draft class. I think he's the true single high safety that you're looking for. You want a ball hawk? Andre Sisco is a ball hawk. 13 interceptions, 14 pass breakups in about 24 games or something like that. He didn't play that many games, but in that 24 game span, the production is there. Numbers are there. And Sisco, man, he's a baller. I mean, there is times, though, where it's like, dude, what are you doing? I mean, he has total misassignment sometimes. What else is there? Missed tackling. Like, sometimes you just look at Sisco and you compare, like, another game to another. And it's like, is this the same player? Like, they look completely different. It's not the same guy. So, you know, this is a total boomer bust pick, and it fits my criteria. Do I look for the boomer bust picks? This is the risky pick. So, I mean, Andre Sisco is weird because in this weird safety class that we mentioned, there's not like a true 1, 2, 3, and it can go anywhere. Sisco could go as early as like a mid or early second round pick, or he could be as late as a day 3 pick, maybe even a middle day 3 pick. I mean, it's interesting. I don't know where he's going to like really end up going. If I was in the war room and if I was the general manager making this pick, I would take him for sure day 2. Like, he's a guy that I would definitely spend a third-round pick on, and I would even spend an early third-round pick on him. He fit, if I'm looking for safety, obviously he fits the criteria I look for. You know, he has the ball skills. I think, you know, just got to clean up, obviously missed tackles and, you know, just stank on, you know, having the right mindset of being, you know, a single high safety all the time. And, you know, got to look at the whole field. So I think the upside is definitely there and has the upside to be the best safety in the whole entire class. But I mean, the floor is really low as well. I mean, he could be one of those guys where we're looking, you know, in a few years, we're like, where's Andre Sisco? Is he on a practice squad somewhere? Like, it wouldn't shock me either way if this guy's an all-pro safety 1 year, or if we're looking in 2 to 3 years and I see him on the Carolina Panthers practice squad with Matt Rhule. Like, it wouldn't shock me either way with Andre Sisco. But overall, this is my type of guy. This is the type of risk I would take just with the ball production he has and he's shown before at Syracuse. So Andre Sisco is safety 4 with the upside to be safety number 1.
Yeah, you know what's great about that is Tyler, when we were in the pre-show, Tyler was like, I have a guy that I like. And Saray was like, Andre Sisco, immediately guessed it. It was great. It was such an on-brand Tyler player. Yeah, Sisco, I think you did a really good job breaking him down. He's a very interesting prospect. My safety 5 is Richie Grant from Central Florida. You guys touched on him. Here's the thing. I don't get it. I don't like it. He's fine. I don't think he's a bad player. I do not have a bad grade on him. I just, you know, people are hyping him as a potential round one safety. I've seen him as safety 1 for some people. I just don't understand. I don't get it. I think he's incredibly inconsistent. I do not think he's a very good processor. I think that he is more athlete than anything right now. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. He definitely has good range. I've seen his range in person. I know he can run. I've been there and seen him cover a crap ton of grass on the back end at Lincoln Financial Field. So like, I get it, but like, I just think he's really inconsistent. I think he's inconsistent in his processing. I think he's inconsistent in man coverage. I think he's inconsistent with his ball skills and his tackling. Like, I don't know. Like, again, like, I think he's fine. I want to say I have like a second round grade on him, like a low second or a high third. I don't think he's a bad football player. I don't get the hype. I really don't. I'm not that high on him, but he is solid. And I think he can come in and be an effective player in deep zones. And that's what you're looking for. So he's going to be a top 5 safety for me. I just don't understand the, you know, fringe first round, like top 40 hype that I'm just a little bit lower on, but I do think that he's solid. I understand, you know, I get it. Like why people like him. I don't know. I saw a player who is significantly more inconsistent than some people are saying.
I think one reason with Richie Grant, you know, being that climber is also because also the Senior Bowl. And that was like a huge like advantage for a lot of those guys that were there because, you know, obviously there was no combine this year and like, you don't really have much access to pro days besides outside of numbers. So it's like, you couldn't really, I mean, you got another event to see him. And I think it's more recency bias than anything, which makes sense. And it might be the same thing for me. I like Richie Grant a lot. And I think he could be one of those guys that ends up being a fringe first rounder or even an early second rounder. But like you said, it wouldn't even surprise me if he's in there in the third round. But I think he's a guy that's definitely picked within day 2. Like, I don't see him being there day 3. I'd be a bit shocked. But Saray, who's your safety 5 to wrap this up?
Hamza Nasirlidine from Florida State. I think he showed, you know, his Senior Bowl that he's, you know, ability to cover tight ends. There's some good clips he had in man coverage, you know, on the 101s and Senior Bowl practice. Listen, man, health is a big thing for this kid. I think this is a guy who's like going to be like a sub package type role defender, kind of a hybrid type guy, kind of play like an overhang role. It's not somebody I consistently want in man coverage with slot defenders. Like, let him line up and cover some running backs, maybe a slower, not, you know, a less athletic tight end, maybe. But I think situation and fit is going to be extremely important for Hamza Nasirlidine just because the type of player he is, right? He's got the size, the athleticism, the blend of all that, you know, that comes together for kind of a hybrid role. But like, I think his ball skills have to improve. I think his man coverage can improve. This is not some guy that you want to come in and, you know, you go a dime on third and long. This is not a guy you want in a slot, right, covering somebody like Cole Beasley. He's going to get exposed, right? So I think that's – you really have to find out what he does for your defense, right? I think, his, you know, a blitzer, he can improve there too. Overall, I do think that, you know, health is important. But I think that just – like you said in the pre-show, Tyler, this class is really just locking – you know, missing – so a lot of those top guys, right, we just don't have it this year, right? And I do like what Hamza did on film when he was healthy. I like hybrid role guys. I really like guys who can do a lot of things, and I think that's what Hamza is going to bring to a team. But like I said, it's going to be system and fit. Where he goes is going to be extremely important because they have to have a specific plan for this guy or he won't be successful. So I do think that he's got room for improvement, like I said, in the ball skills. I think the man coverage is iffy at times, but I do think his ability just to – he's an athlete, man. I think athletes in space in the NFL are important, so I think there's going to be a role for him somewhere. I'm just not sure exactly where. Like I said, it's most likely a sub-package role type defender is what he most likely would be. Somebody who's going to, like I said, come in and nickel dime packages on third and long, you know, just to add more athletes on the field. But I don't know, man. He's got to get healthy and stay consistent. I know he practiced at the Senior Bowl, but just it's kind of hard to not harp on the injuries just because he's had significant injuries in college. So, but he is my safety five. I don't want to sound like I don't like him a lot, but I do think he's better than Javon Holland because he's going to bring more than the table. Like you said, I do think Holland's really like a nickel. Like he's going to be a nickel at some point.
Yeah, that's very fair. To wrap up my safety rankings, and then we'll get into the corners. I'm going with also Jamar Johnson. You guys mentioned, I believe, is safety three, if I'm not mistaken, safety three. Yep. I mean, I think you guys broke it down pretty, you know, good. I mean, he's one of those guys that could be a split safety on the field. I think, you know, teams like the Saints, Rams, now Detroit. I mean, I think those systems will really like a guy like Jamar Johnson. You know, day two, if you're in need of a safety, you could play the split safety role. Those defenses really like the split safety, having two on the fields. Also the versatility as well with Jamar Johnson. So I think you guys did a good job with him. So Jamar Johnson, safety five for me. And Dante, we're kicking off to you, cornerback one.
All right. Cornerback one is Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. I do not factor injuries into my grade. So, you know, go argue with your cat about his back surgery. I don't care. Here's the thing with Farley. I think, you know, you're getting the best blend of athlete and technique in this class. It's close. I really like that all four of my top four corners have first round grades. So there is not really a big difference between, you know, Caleb Farley is my CB1 and then when we get to him, my CB4. But I think Farley is an elite athlete at the position, a truly elite athlete at the position. Not only that, he's like roughly 6'2", so he's gigantic, really, really good length, good ball skills, good recognition. He can break downhill. He can play off man. He can play press man. You know, you can play him in cover three if you want him in bail and getting into those deep zones and being responsible for a third of the field. I think he can do that too. He can play strictly as a zone corner as well. I think he'll be really solid there. Click and close ability, can read the eyes of the quarterback. You're getting a player with elite traits and elite tape at corner. His 2019 film at Virginia Tech is bonkers. There are plays in on that film that are inhuman. Him flipping his hips like three times and intercepting, you know, whoever Miami's trash quarterback was in 2019 in the end zone. I mean, it just like insane plays on film. You know, there's good plays with him battling with Chase Claypool at a really, really good rookie season. I just slandered Sarah Ray's team. Oh man. Yeah, really, really good plays against Chase Claypool, who, hey, he's a pretty good NFL receiver, and Caleb Farley had a nice battle against him. Those, you know, had some where he won some, lost some, but overall, I mean, that's the type of showing you want from a top corner against a top receiver. So I think Farley brings everything to the table. If you want to knock him on your board because of injuries, fine. I totally get it. There's a chance he might not even be a first-round pick because of those injuries, which I think is absolutely outrageous. But what do I know? I don't have a PhD. So, you know, I think that now I just said the wrong thing. I don't have a dumb medical degree. I literally just said the wrong doctorate. Oh, man. I worked way too long today. My brain is absolute mush. But anyway, back to the point. I love Caleb Farley. I think he's really good. Great athlete. Just please, for the love of God, stop getting hurt. You're really making my life significantly more difficult than it needs to be.
That was a funny spiel minus the Miami part. But no, being honestly, if you just go watch the Farley versus Miami game, he put on a show, right? And I completely off topic, but you brought up Claypool. I completely missed on Claypool. I thought dude was a tight end at the NFL.
Yeah, I missed on Claypool too. That haunts me every night. When did this man start running a 4.3? He ran like a 4.7 on tape.
I don't know.
Runs a 4.3 at the combine, then goes to Pittsburgh and they're running reverses and he's running away. Like, where did this be? Whatever. Well, yeah.
He's different. But my corner one is Patrick Surtain, corner out of Alabama. Man, he's got good size, 6'2", over 200 pounds. I think he's a physical man coverage. He's going to excel in the press, man. I think he wins when he's able to get his hands on people. I think he's a smart player in zone coverage. He understands his keys, does a fantastic job of playing the press belt technique. I think he has quick trigger when he's covering in the flats. Change of direction for a bigger corner, man. He moves very well, has smooth transition out of his breaks. I think his hips are very fluid. His feet are good. Ball skills are good. I think he has a see ball, get ball mentality, man. I think that with Surtain, you're just getting a guy who doesn't have the elite traits, right? He doesn't have the the higher ceiling. I'll say this right now, the spoiler alert, but like Caleb Farley, my corner three, he has the higher ceiling than anybody in the class. I'll give you that right now. There's not a corner in this class who's a higher ceiling than Caleb Farley. But I think Surtain, man, he's just overall just – I love corners who excel in man coverage. Right? It's just, and I think that's where Surtain's going to excel in the league, man. And like he's not flashy. There's times where you're watching games, and sometimes I kind of forget that he's on the field because like he's not getting targeted. Like he's literally just blanketing receivers. And it's kind of like the Richard Sherman effect. Like in his prime years in Seattle, you just kind of forgot like he was on the field sometimes because there are times where like nobody throws at him, right? It happened to Reeves. When you're just that good at man coverage, teams just have to scheme around you. And that's what happened to Surtain, right? So, but he's my corner one. Like he's not the flashiest guy, right? He doesn't, you know, his speed is talked about a lot. I think his long speed is better than what people gave him credit for. But Surtain for me is my corner one.
Yeah, Patrick Surtain is also my corner one, and you broke it down perfectly. You know, he's a guy that is going to lock down his side of the ball. Wherever he's playing, he's going to lock down his side of the ball. He has the ability to shadow receivers as well. He's not one of those guys where I think he needs to just be stationed in a spot. Like you mentioned, he can play the man coverage, so that's really big. And, you know, it's something I really value as much. You know, when you're a fan of the Lions and you were just through a Patriots scheme, you really appreciate cover one and guys who could play man coverage. I know Dante's in that same boat right now. You really appreciate those guys. And Patrick Surtain is just like one of those guys for sure that, you know, those teams that love to play cover one, love man coverage, who's just going to lock his side down, like lock it, you know, in shadow guys. Oh, you're in love with a guy like Patrick Surtain. So he's also my corner one in this class. So I'm going to kick it off to Dante. Dante, who's corner two here?
Yeah, my corner two is Patrick Surtain, so I'll be brief. He's like literally ranked a point below Caleb Farley, so like he can be CB1 for me. I don't really care. He's awesome. Great man coverage corner. His film's boring as hell. Like it is like he's a great player, and I, you know, you always love watching great players, but like, man, ain't nobody throwing him, all right? Like, I'm sitting here just watching him rep after rep after rep, and it's like, can someone please just throw the ball to that side of the field? And, like, people don't, and that's a testament to how good Surtain is, and obviously I'm complaining about it, but it's not a complaint. I didn't knock him for that on film. It's a compliment, quite frankly, as a corner. That's what you want to see. So you guys did a really good job breaking him down, so I'll pass it to you guys for CB2.
My CB2 is J.C. Horn, cornerback out of South Carolina. Listen, this is another, like I said, I thrive for dudes who are technicians, man. I think that his hips can be tight, right, and transitions when he's acts to turn and run sometimes. But, like, if you go back and watch the Kyle Pitts film, right, Pitts, you know, won the matchup for sure because he made more plays. But if you just really go back and watch, J.C. Horn is always in position. Like, he's just playing against a better player. You know what I mean? Like, there's really not much you can do. It's kind of like in the basketball saying, like, good offense is always going to beat good defense. And that's really what happened when they played Florida, man. But, like, J.C. Horn really is extremely grabby, right? And I think that's something that can be coachable. I know a long time ago when Joe Hayden was in his prime in Cleveland, I forgot who the secondary coach was, but they would put boxing gloves. I forgot what kind of gloves they were on the corner's hands. So during one-on-one pairs, they couldn't grab. It's strictly technique, right? We're just going to use our feet, our hips, we're going to mirror and match. And I think he does a good job at it. He can mirror and match movements at the line of scrimmage. I think he has good at trigger and click and close, right? I don't think he's like the twitchiest athlete, but he's very capable of getting in and out of breaks and sinking his hips and turning and running. He can be a little upright at times. His hips can be a little tight. I mean, my man got a little more stretching, right? We'll get there, right? I know for a fact 20-year-old kids aren't stretching as much as they should be. But I like J.C. Horn a lot, man. I don't know where his ceiling is. I'll say this. I think it's 13 for the Chargers just because I'm biased. I think that's as high as he'll go. But I don't know, man. I see a lot of mocks for like Dallas taking Surtain. I think Surtain gets drafted before Horn. I don't know, man. I like him a lot. He's my corner, too.
So I want to bring it up to you guys. I just want to bring up last year's corners class real quickly. And obviously being a Lions fan drafting this guy, and, you know, you hear the rumblings around, like, Lions, like, fans are like, are any of these corners this year comparable to Jeff Okuda coming out last year? Or is Jeff Okuda just far and above the better corner than all these guys?
As a prospect? Okuda is the highest graded corner that I've graded since I did the draft. So I'm going to say hell no. This is my honest opinion. No,
I'm going off the top of my head. So don't quote me on this, but I do think Okuda will have everyone beat for pre-draft grade.
He's a better technician than everybody in this class. Not close.
Yeah. I think, Farley might be close, but I don't think he got there. I'm pretty sure Okuda, I think I'm with Saray. I think Okuda is the highest corner grade I've ever given.
I mean, it's the same thing for me. Same thing for me as well. So I was just wondering because, you know, obviously I had a bad rookie season and you hear all the people, oh, Surtain's better, Farley's better, J.C. Horn's better. I'm like, I don't know. I just thought Okuda was a better college prospect. And, you know, I don't want to get too deep into Okuda, but I just want to throw that out there. It's like, are any of these corners comparable to who the corner one was, obviously, last year's class. But going on to my corner two, and it's J.C. Horn as well. Something I want to mention, you know, I thought Saray did a phenomenal job breaking down the film for Horn, but I want to bring up his pro day numbers and his RAS score. So J.C. Horn got a 9.99 RAS score, so it's almost a perfect 10, which is obviously can't get higher than that. So, I mean, he killed his pro day at South Carolina, ran a 4.4. 40 dash, you know, he's 6 foot. So he's everything you look in a corner athleticism wise and size wise. So, you know, this is a guy where you just kind of want to give him the building and, you know, there's some things to clean up, like Saray said, but you know, he has every ability and all the ceiling to be such a good player. And it's just a guy you want to get in, you know, your locker room. And, you know, if he is the guy for the Chargers, I think that'd be super fun to see what Staley could do with Horn. I think that'd be a very good match together. So, you know, I like that. Maybe I have to move my mock around because I didn't have J.C. Horn at 13 for the Chargers. And, you know, maybe Saray's bringing some knowledge and saying I got to move around my mock now. So J.C. Horn.
Assuming we don't trade up for Penei Sewell, baby. Assuming
which you guys might be trading with my team, the Detroit Lions.
I'm telling you right now, if we're on draft day next week and I see we trade up and Sewell is the pick, I'm launching my phone out of the room. I'm going to take my clothes off. I'm going to jump in the shower of cold water. I am going to be in just extremely happy, joyful man. Herbert deserves it.
You know, like when you see those things on Twitter, it's like those females and it's like, you know, show me what you want or whatever. Is like, and you get like a bunch of memes and stuff. I think I saw like Field Yates. He's like, the most beautiful thing ever would be Penei Sewell protecting Justin Herbert's blinds.
Please and thank you. I beg of you, please.
Hey, I mean, Saray said he's willing to give a first round pickup, so I mean, I'm down. I mean, as a Lions fan, I would take the Chargers first round pick to go to
13. I think that's the asking price from 13 to 7. You gotta swap picks and give up a one. You guys gonna take a two? There's no way you guys are just fine swapping picks and taking a two. It's gonna be a one.
No. You're giving us a first. You're giving us a first.
That's what said. It's gonna happen. I already know this is gonna happen.
All right, I guess I'm up with CB3 then. My CB3 is Greg Newsome from Northwestern. I think I talked about Patrick Surtain's film being boring. Buddy, I was screaming watching Greg Newsome's film. His film is incredibly fun. I was having a hoot. It was like 2 a.m. and I was out here grinding Northwestern film. Dude, Newsome's film is awesome. Oh, man, he's great. Man coverage, off man, press bail. Cover three, zone, from the slot. The dude is all over the place, and he is locked down at every single spot. Him and Surtain, as far in my opinion, like they are the technicians of this class. I know you guys were really high on Horn's tech, and that's fine. I get it. I think Horn's a good, you know, he's got good technique as well. But like Newsome, Surtain, like I could copy and paste their back pedal and their break on the ball and then their T-step getting out of their break. Like I could copy and paste that every single time and it's the same and it's awesome. And I love watching them with corners and people actually threw at Newsome and he was awesome. Made really, really good plays on the ball, able to high point, come downhill. He has good length. He also tested really, really well at his pro day in Northwestern, ran well, good size, good length. I love him, and I think that he's going to come in. And quite frankly, I would not be surprised. I think it'll either be him or Surtain. If they come in and they're the most successful corners in year one, I think Horn and Farley have, you know, maybe higher ceilings, maybe, but I think maybe they'll take a little bit of time to get back up to speed. I think Newsome's going to come in right away. You could literally put him on any scheme and any team in the NFL, and he can be a starting corner. And I think that that is a very – and I feel the same way about Surtain, and I feel the same way about Farley, except I think Farley is just a tad raw, but he also has the upside. So I really love Greg Newsome. He's some of the most fun I had watching film this year. He has some just absolutely ludicrous plays down the field, making plays on the ball. I mean, there was the one play against Nebraska where he flipped his hips like three times and high-pointed the ball in the middle of the field on deep post. Like, just stupid crap like that. I think the only problem you have to push back on with Newsome, at least for me, is injuries. Again, he's another guy who's been dinged up, and he hasn't played a lot of football because of that. I don't think he's played a full season yet. So those things are concerns. Again, I don't scout for those things. So they don't matter to me, quite frankly. They matter to NFL teams, though. So I would not be surprised if Greg Newsom is probably like CB4, CB5 off the board. But I just think from a technique standpoint, from a scheme versatility standpoint, he's really, really close to Patrick Surtain and just a step below him. And I just think, I don't know, man, I love this film. I really, really like Greg Newsom. He's a top 20 player for me in this class.
Are we not going to talk about how Dante's doing all his evaluations at 2 a.m.? I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I have respect it, man. That's dedication right there. Oh, so, Sarah, are you on the same boat?
So, my corner forward, Caleb Farley. It was 1 a.m. I was having some tequila by myself. I said, screw it. I'm a little, you know, a little off of it here. I'm going to start watching some film at 1 a.m. Why not? What nothing else better to do? It was a Friday night. I remember vividly. I was up to about 3 a.m. just watching Caleb Farley film. Dude, he's that good. So, like, the whole staying up late thing, I do it all the time if I'm watching prospects. Like, you're not alone.
Yeah. Here's another peek behind the curtain. During draft season, I shut my phone off at midnight, and then I try and work for as long as possible without any distractions because – I mean, like, you know, we're all full-time students and, like, we all have other jobs. And it's just like, if I don't stay up past, you know, ungodly hours to watch prospects, I won't get to watch everybody. So it's just kind of a nature of the beast in my process, at least.
Actual draft day, I turn my phone on do not disturb. Like, I completely just do not, I just don't mess with it at all. Unless I'm tweeting something, of course.
The spoilers suck. I agree with you. I turn it completely off. And I agree 100% with that. But I think we have to mention that Saray is above age, so he was okay drinking the tequila at 1 a.m.
It's true. He's 24 years old. But anyway, back to my corner for Caleb Farley. This podcast went way left. Caleb Farley's my corner for. Dante did a good job talking about him, dude. I said earlier, he has the highest ceiling other than any other corner in the class. He's an amazing impressed man, dude. I think he mirrors and, you know, mirrors releases very well. You could tell this dude was a receiver, dude. There's times where he's just like running routes for dudes. Like, it's like, okay, I know what you're running, and there's like nothing you can do about it. He did it against Miami on several different occasions. Granted, our quarterback play was bad, but still. Zone coverage, man. Listen, like, if people think he can improve, I think he's good there. Change of direction, dude. For a bigger corner, he's smooth, he's fluid, he can turn his hips, he can flip and run. There were times, I want to say it was the Wake Forest game. They just said, look, Caleb, your plan is to just go out here and just shut down this entire side of the field. And he did exactly that, the 2019 Wake Forest game. And, like, Wake Forest was like, okay, they tried to throw him at him once, and it didn't work very well. And for the rest of the game, it was like, yeah, for the next three quarters, we've got to do anything else. So everywhere he lined up, he's that type of guy, man. And that's the type of look, the injuries are important, the back surgeries, right? Missing time is huge. And, like, we don't have the information we would need this year because the whole combine situation and COVID to really knock guys down. Like Dante said, I'm not a doctor. So, like, I can't harp, you know, move him up and down my board based on what I don't know. So, like, he's my corner four, but, like, I gave him an 85.5 and JC Horn had an 86. So if you were to switch him, like, sure, whatever. Right. Like, he's just that good. So, like, I don't know, man. I said corner four. He's definitely my corner three. I'm an idiot. But yes, JC Horn's dead. JC Horn. Caleb Farley is definitely my Caleb. Caleb Farley is my corner three. Jesus, I cannot get that out.
My man might be doing tequila right now. The way he's talking.
It feels like it. Jeez, I can't even get my rankings right. Names, I'm just all over the place here.
He has a Gatorade bottle, but dude, I don't know, man. Oh. I don't know, man. It's not yellow. It says lemon lime on it, but
no,
it
seems that, a bit that went down way too smooth for tequila, man.
This is definitely Gatorade. This is definitely
I don't know, man. It looks like some 1942.
We don't condone drinking and podcasting, guys. This is a PG-13 podcast, guys.
But you do condone 1 a.m. scouting and drinking.
Absolutely. If you're of age, why not? Have at it, man. Have at it. Yes.
All right. Fair enough. Caleb Farley is also my corner three. And I thought something was really interesting because, you know, you go back to just his early college days. And I even looked at his high school. Caleb Farley was a receiver. So, like, you would never think that because, like, he looks so traditional as a corner. You would just think that transition was just – you know, wasn't a thing. You would think he's been playing corner his whole life. And like you guys mentioned, you know, he's just a really, really good corner, and he's an outside corner in the NFL. This guy's Dante's number one corner, and I think he has potential to definitely be a first-round pick, and I would be shocked if he isn't in the first round. I know you guys mentioned the injuries, obviously, and that's some flags, obviously, but I think, you know, 32 teams, someone's going to take a chance on him. It's kind of like the Jalen Phillips situation with as edge rusher, you know, like, you know, someone's going to take a shot on this guy. It's just because the talent's too much, and you're just going to, you know, almost forget the injuries because he's too talented. 6'2", I mean, that's the size you're looking at in the corner as well. So I think, you know, what Dante was saying, especially with these three corners between Surtain, Horn, and Farley, you can make an argument any of these guys at number one. I think it's really close within all three of these guys. I mean, I don't know, Dante would make the argument probably number four of them with Greg Newsom probably in that mix. But I like Farley a lot. I think he's a really good corner. So corner three for me. But I wouldn't be shocked if he's the first corner taken off the board.
All right. I'll be brief here with corner four because you guys have broken him down. It's J.C. Horn. I agree with everything you guys said. I think I'm just a tad lower. And again, these are four players that are separated by like 2 points at most on my board. So like we're really splitting hairs here. Look, if you're a man coverage team, would not shock me. You know, if you're a press, especially if you're a press man coverage team, J.C. Horn CB1 on the board, man. It don't matter. Like this is, you know, he's physical as hell. He's very, very tough and mean in coverage, and he's going to battle guys all the way down the field. So I like that. I think I'm just a little bit hesitant on how grabby he is. And Saray talked about the boxing gloves thing, and like grabby corners scare me a little bit. And again, like I think Horn's really good. I think he's a great prospect. He's going to be a first round pick. I think he'll be successful. The grabbiness scares me. And when you're in a class that has Caleb Farley, Patrick Surtain, and Greg Newsom, that stuff just pushes you down just a tad. And that's kind of why he ended up CB4 for me. But don't get it wrong, he's a top 20 player on my board as well. I think he's very, very good. I think he's going to be a good outside corner for a team in a man coverage scheme.
I wish Draft Twitter could be like how our podcast is, and we can just disagree to disagree. And it's like, okay, you know, you don't have to start calling shots and wanting to harm people. But anyway,
no, you're an idiot. No, you are an idiot.
That's literally how it is, right? You're stupid. You suck. You're not good at this. Like, you just have to bash people.
No, I legit meant it.
See? Thank you. I appreciate it.
I had a guy tell me to log out because I had a fourth round grade on Ronnie Perkins. So, you know, that's how Draft Twitter Perkins goes.
Play?
I mean, what is so special about? I mean, this edge rusher class sucks.
It's not exactly good.
You know, I wasn't even like, I didn't even think that was disrespectful. It's not like I gave the dude like a UDFA grade. I was like, yeah, you know, he's a fourth rounder. Like, yeah, he's fine. Jeez, this guy was like, walk out. You've never seen film in your life. And it's like, yeah, he got me.
I think that the whole go watch the film argument is the funniest thing to me.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Like, everybody who disagrees with your take, oh, go watch the film. No, buddy, did you watch the film? Because you're telling me something, and I watched like five games of this kid. He's not
good. It's always like Joe 2875.
Like six followers.
Go watch the film, bruv.
No profile picture.
Yeah, no profile picture. It's always the people with the dog pics.
Living in his grandma's basement somewhere.
Yeah, telling me to watch the film.
Happens all the time.
No, I've never actually watched football in my life. Fun fact. Another peek behind the curtain. That's the third one tonight. If you take anything away from this podcast, take away that Saray does tequila and watches cornerbacks, and I've never watched film in my life. That's the takeaway from this podcast.
To be honest, we suck. I don't know why we even have this job, if we're being honest. I don't know why we got hired to do this. But corner four for me, I'll be brief. It is Greg Newsom. Like I said, I have first round grades just like Dante on my top four: Surtain, Farley, Horn, and Newsom. All within my top 25. Also, man, the hit fluidity, man, smooth feet. He could turn and run in man coverage, man. I think he's smart, can play zone coverage. He's a willing tackler. The ball production, his last 15 games, he had over 20 PBUs and an interception. So, like, he's making plays on the football. He's clicking closes very well. It's a good prospect, man. I know we talked about the injuries. You know, you got to be, available. Your best ability is availability. I see a lot of mocks with him sliding down in Chicago. It'd be very interesting. The hometown kids stay in town and play for the Bears. But make it quick and brief. Greg Newsom is my cornerback four.
Fair enough. And, you know, just to go on, you know, with not always agreeing on opinions, I think, like, you guys got to put in perspective as well if you think like that. It's just like, do every NFL team have the same perspective on every player? Like, haven't you heard the reference, like, this guy doesn't fit this system or this guy fits that system? Like, how – and some guys are just – even though he might be a number one on someone's board, he might not be on someone else's board at all, like, in the NFL. So, I mean, it's okay to have different perspectives.
Here's the thing that I come back to is, like – our opinions don't matter. You know how many draft picks I've made? None. Zero.
Does Madden count?
No. Okay, it doesn't. We do this because we like it and we enjoy having these debates. And, like, you know, I already know who Tyler's about to talk about here, and it's different than the guy that I had here. And, like, honestly, I totally get it. I think it's great. I like that we get to have these debates. So, like, again, like, I think people take this stuff way too seriously sometimes. Like, everyone just needs to, especially this time of the year, we're like 2 days away from the draft. Like, relax. It's all going to be fine. Everybody just take a deep breath. We'll be okay.
Aaron Rodgers 2.0. I like that.
Run the table. Now, why am I saying this? Why are we making all right. Corner four. It's going to be Asante Samuel Jr. from Florida State. And this was a bit of a different one. You know, we've been talking about a lot of outside corners and man press guys. And this is a guy who I think who could maybe potentially be okay on the outside. I mean, I don't think his size and his height is, you know, usually NFL outside corner. So I think he will probably end up and he'll end up being a slot corner in the end of the day. And that's totally fine. I mean, like I said, like about Javon Holland, nickel corners get a bad rep, but like they're really important. Like every team, or at least like a lot of the good teams now, have three good receivers. So you need to put someone on those guys. I mean, it's going to be a total mismatch if you don't have a true third corner. Like you need a good nickel corner. And some people help make the arguments like, oh, okay, we could have three good corners. Like, let's just get another outside guy. No, that's not necessarily the case either, because not every outside corner is good in the nickel. I mean, there's some games where, you know, a guy doesn't thrive in the nickel. I'm just going to throw an example. Lion. When we played the Chargers, actually, week two, they're like, oh, because Keenan Allen's freaking a monster and can line up anywhere on the field. And Slay was shadowing. But what the Chargers kept doing is like, we're going to put him in the nickel. We're going to keep putting Keenan in the nickel. And we're going to exploit Darius Slay's weakness of playing the nickel corner spot. Like, you need someone who could play the nickel, because you got guys like Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, who can move all over the field. And if you don't have a true nickel corner, okay, we're just going to game plan. We're going to put one of our great receivers in the nickel spot, and he's going to kill your corner that's not supposed to be there, or he's like only used to playing the outside. So I think nickel corners get a bad rep for no reason, and especially today's NFL, I think every team to a certain degree is going to need one, or they're going to have to address it eventually. It's kind of like a coverage linebacker, like I mentioned. Like every team is getting to a point where you're going to need a coverage linebacker who can guard running backs and tight ends. And that's how I feel about nickel corners. So I think Asante Samuel is the best nickel corner in this whole entire draft class, and that's why he's my corner four. You know, I don't know where he'll end up going in the draft. I think he's definitely a day two guy. I could see him going as early as day two, maybe like early round two, or, you know, maybe he's a guy that slips all the way to the late round two. I think he's definitely a round two guy, but, you know, you need nickel corners. Nickel corners are important. It's not like you guys running back agreement or disagreement, whatever. Nickel corners are important, and you need nickel corners. So Asante Samuel is corner four for me. Best nickel corner in this draft.
Man, this is tough, because you've slandered Greg Newsome, but in doing so, you've propped up one of my favorite players in the class and my CB5 in Asante Samuel Jr. So I won't call you an idiot. I'll let it go. I've been on Asante Samuel Jr. for about 2 years now, so it feels really good actually to see you have him as CB4. I think he's awesome. I agree with you, and I'll be brief here. I do think that he is probably a slot corner for a lot of teams. However, you get him in a cover two role with the Colts or maybe the Eagles if they're going to run that defense. Buddy, he's great in short zones. Like, he's really good. The quick feet, explosive, smooth hips. You know, he's got kind of weird ball skills. I don't know. He's not quite his father in that way, but they do have the same play style as far as aggressiveness is concerned. So I really, really like Asante Samuel Jr. He's my CB5. I think he's the best nickel corner in this class as well. And I'm happy that somebody else has joined me on that ship.
I remember having a conversation about Samuel in one of our mocks like a long time ago. We were just saying, like, if he's going to play on the outside, it has to be, you know, for one of those teams who play, you know, cover two. But, like, Eric Stokes is my cornerback five, cornerback from Georgia, man. I think he ran a 4.2 at his pro day, man. So I don't know how realistic these times are these years, you know, these days with the virtual stuff and not the virtual stuff, but the COVID situation, and, you know, guys not in attendance. It's just a weird year for pro days, but he ran a 4.2, so for take that's what it's worth. But I think he can mirror match releases at the line of scrimmage. I think he's very patient. He has good footwork. And his zone coverage, I think his awareness needs to improve, but he likes to bail a lot. And if you notice the Georgia film, he's in zone. He's like to bail. And in breaking routes, give him troubles at times when he's breaking in zone coverage. But I think he's an adequate athlete. I think that He can do everything. And the whole run support tackling thing, I think that can improve. I think he has good ball skills. I think his change of direction is good enough. He has good hip mobility when he sacks, turn, and run. I think this is a starting corner in NFL. I gave him a second-round grade. But, like, it's just – I don't know, man. This corner class is – it's in my opinion, it's deep. I like the corners a lot. So, like, Asante Samuel was closer, but I think – think Stokes' ability to be able to go in and play right away on the outside, regardless of what scheme it is probably what gave him the edge for me. But, yeah, Stokes is my cornerback five.
So, Ray, I was really surprised not hear two of your boys. I mean, not necessarily top five corners, but you mentioned them in, like, every single mock. So I was disappointed a little bit. Benjamin St. Juice and Tyson Campbell were two guys I wanted to hear from Sir Ray's mouth today.
Tyson Campbell's his guy, man. I was shocked.
I'm telling you right now, I love Tyson Campbell, but he's not better than Stokes, right? Like, I have to be honest with myself. As much as I love him, he's not better than Stokes. And I think that the tweet I sent you guys in your group chat, since we're talking about Tyson Campbell, like the whole Campbell thing, struggling to make plays in the ball. I mean, if you're coached to play the way they're coached, I guess, whatever, right? But like, a lot of Campbell's issues are fixable. That's why I'm just so high on his upside. I think he's a really good athlete, but like, not in my top five. Close, but he's not there.
Reminds me a lot of Noah Igbinoghene, who the Dolphins took in the back end first of the first round. Yeah, they're both really good athletes, and neither of them have ever seen the football in their life when they're in coverage. So, they have very similar strengths and weaknesses.
I think that's my biggest pet peeve when watching corners is guys who don't turn and find the football. It pisses me off.
Especially the way they call PI in the NFL. Like, you cannot.
No.
It's so hard to play through the hands and not turn your head and not get called for PI. It is like, it is really hard. I hate that. Yeah, that's a big one for me too.
All right. Going to corner five, you guys already mentioned Greg Newsome, the third from Northwestern. You guys already mentioned what he offers to the table as far as the film-wise. I kind of want to bring up the RAS score again in the pro day stuff. Got a 9.66, so really good stuff. Ran a 4.39, so fast. I mean, he's everything you look like in a corner again for athleticism and size. You know, he's 6 foot. You know, he's fast. He's speedy. He's a true outside corner. I think, you know, as far as the four and five spot, you could have flip-flopped it and I would be completely fine. If you said Samuel, if you said Newsome, I'm completely fine either way. I just want to throw Samuel just because he's a nickel corner. I think he's the best nickel corner in this class. So I think he offers that. And that's why I put him just a slight, you know, tad above Newsome, where in the other three guys we mentioned, they were all outside corners like Horn, Surtain, and Farley. I mean, this is another one. I mean, I have no disagreement if he's your corner one, corner three, corner five. I don't care. I mean, I think if he's not within your top five, I think it's a bit, you know, a bit of a reach. But overall, it's a phenomenal prospect. Again, you guys mentioned the injuries as well. But, I mean, we don't know all the medicals. We're not doctors. So we'll let that play out. We'll let NFL teams figure that all out. But overall, really good prospect. And with that being said, guys, that is officially it. That is officially it of all the breakdowns. We've done every single position. We've done mock drafts. We've done everything. We've done everything you could think of as far as the draft. And if it's not us, our network has done it all. I mean, if you guys want to go on the NFL Draft Bible, they have done it all. Mock drafts, scouting reports, anything you guys want. Podcasts, we have everything. Devi, fantasy, whatever you guys want. We have everything on this network. So hope you guys all enjoyed our coverage throughout the whole draft season. And I don't know if I can confirm this yet, but I believe Tuesday we might be going live on Twitter, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, questionable. Okay, so stay tuned for that. Don't confirm that. Don't quote me, but it's very possible we will be live on Twitter and doing a Twitter live show. So, again, hope you guys all enjoyed. I hope you guys all enjoyed. And Dante, Saray, a lot of fun. Enjoy the draft on Thursday, guys, and we'll be back next week to recap a lot of the draft and, you know, some surprises that are definitely going to happen. So stay tuned for that. And with that being said, we're out, guys. Peace.